morning, and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys, and we're so glad to have you here, and we're blessed today, and I'm sitting here looking at Rick, and I'm having a smile on my face.
Hey, this is the day Yahweh's made. Let's all rejoice.
That's right.
We have so much to rejoice for, because, I should say rejoice in, because there's just so much going on, but you know, look, we're to look upward and encourage each other.
That's right.
One another with these words. So that's what I'm going to do to you, Ron. Look upward. Our redemption draws nigh.
Thank you,
however
sir.
Many years or decades we have, it's still close, especially us old guys.
Oh, you're
and that
so
excites
right.
Me. That, you know, that's this stuff has to happen. And, you know, it's all coming apart around us. But, you know, that's what happens when we get off the path.
So encourage one another, look
encourage,
up,
yes.
And open up your scripture.
Amen.
And become wise in the Lord, right?
Well, yeah, we know the fear, the loving fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge.
That's right.
And the beginning of wisdom, so that's what we need to try to do this morning.
We will. And
we will.
We will. We're looking forward to this morning's conversation because we have two very special people coming on at 8:30 and at 9 o'clock. We have Amber Sims and Robert Snell. We're just anxious to have them because they actually support this whole thing called Oregonians for Medical Freedom. Have you ever heard that before?
Christian Oregonians.
No, it's just flat Oregonians for Medical Freedom.
Oh, I have never heard of that organization.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it.
I
learning
know.
About it.
Yeah, you know, they're helping to really make a difference in our world. Many of us were a little bit worried about this vaccination bill that had come up here in Oregon. And but yet, because of these guys' efforts, because of what they did, that bill was defeated.
Well, you know, a bunch of us, I don't know how many thousand, back several weeks ago,
all met
went
there,
to the Capitol.
And said, no way.
this is against what America was founded on.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they begin to mandate, Ron, what we put in our bodies, that is the beginning of tyranny. Only a tyrant, Ronnie. If I mandated that, I would be a tyrant. And heaven forbid that happen in this nation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, Ron, there's a time. I know there's a time that we have to push back. And that's what people are beginning to do. And, you know, if we don't do it in these, and this is little compared to what's in, you know, know that we talked about it earlier, they're going to change the monetary system, and they're going to, you know, I think this is the litmus test to see what will the people do.
Well,
are we going to do?
Yeah, we're going to find out, you know, because Amber is an activist, basically, and she helped bring this group together, and she promotes it. So she has a lot of understanding about what people are thinking. And then Robert is a lawyer. He's he's coming on at 9, and he has a broader understanding of the national picture and how things are changing and things laws that are coming into place that might affect you and me and those people around us. So stay tuned for this. Don't lose us. If you know of anyone who wants to hear, make sure you get on the phone with them right now and say, hey, you know, the wise guys are going to be bringing in some super guests about medical freedom. And that's from 8:30 to 9:30 today, just this morning, 8:30 to 9:30 about medical freedom. So, Rick, how do they reach us?
Well, they reach us. If you want to reach us, the number 3, you talking about online?
No. What I'm – oh, yeah. number three, wise guys.
At HebrewNation.net.
Right. And you can go to Hebrew Nation online. And, uh-huh. and the website currently is down, but the radio is still playing. Okay, so you can go to Hebrew Nation Radio. And when you pull up the website, you'll still hear this going live.
Listen now.
Right.
And you could
listen on in.
Yeah. So, or you can do it by calling your phone. And I'm going to pull that up, Ron. Continue here.
Okay.
And it's right here.
It's a big, long one, right?
It's not long.
Yeah. So at the moment, pull out those pen and papers, write it down, call up some friends and say, hey.
Say, you've got to listen to these guys. You know, not that, because Yahweh, he is the reason.
You calling me?
No, I wasn't trying to.
Well, you know, because I think we need to understand what we have in the way of freedom. What can we say and what can we do? What positions can we stand on?
Well,
and are there other people around?
And you realize, Ron, they are silencing people that are coming up like online with information about these vaccinations.
Yeah.
They don't seem to want this information out.
Right.
That's it. And whenever we're trying to hide something, to me, those are flags. But if you call the number 605-562-9746.
Do it again.
605-562-9746. Put that in your favorites. And that, and you can listen. If you have a phone signal, you can listen to Hebrew Nation 24/7 whenever.
So from 8:30 to 9:30.
8:30 to 9:30.
Oregonians. Right. For medical freedom, we'll be interviewing them and having a conversation with them, Amber Sims and Robert Sneal. So I'm anxious to get to that.
Yeah.
In between time, there's a text we're looking at this morning. And you know that our custom here is to open up with Bible reading and also prayer. We like doing those things, I think, because many times we have a tendency to forget how great our God is, right?
Well, that's part, Roland, of the arming up process. The word, the sword of the Spirit is the word.
Yeah.
It's so sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why we do this stuff. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness.
Put it on.
Yes, the belt of truth, the shield of faith. And we shod our feet with the gospel, see?
I know.
And, man, when you do that, what begins to happen?
A new day.
You start living in the abundant life, the spirit-filled walk.
Yeah.
And that's why we do this, because we know the enemy's going to shoot.
Mm.
He's going to shoot at us. He's going to try to pelt us with whatever he can. But those darts, those will not penetrate when we have that full armor.
Well, if you're asking yourself this question here this morning, what – many times, like we're bringing up this topic of Oregonians for Medical Freedom, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, wait, Roland and Rick, that's political activism. We're not necessarily called to do that, and maybe we aren't supposed to be a part of that. But
I think we really are, though.
Yeah.
Especially with things like what they're standing for. Whenever anybody or any government starts to overstep its bounds, I think there's a time, I know there's a time, for Yahweh's people to stand.
So here's the question. Should we stand? And is there a time in your life when you think that you can't stand or things don't matter? Take, for instance, some of you might be thinking, well, I'm too old to make a difference, or I don't know enough to make a difference. Can you still make a difference? And I think you might come up with something. Mm-hmm. Let's read this verse. It's Psalms 46.
Yeah. Wonderful song.
1 and 2.
Here we go. Yeah. Yahweh is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of our God.
Wow.
I mean, hey, even though it's all coming apart around us, just like it is today, Roland,
Well, my
who's our refuge? He's our refuge.
He is, and our strength.
And he's our tower in the time of trouble. We can run. He is the strong tower. The righteous run to him and are safe.
I was drawn to this verse because of verse 2. I mean, we have you had just read Psalms 46, 1 through 4.
Yeah.
And what stood out to me was verse 2, therefore we will not fear though the earth should change. You know, and I look at my surroundings and I'm going, wow, how are we changing as a culture? And I'm thinking,
yeah.
A lot.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Look at stuff that's legal that never was before.
Or things that we even, yeah. Anyways, our earth should change. Therefore, I should not fear. Why should I not fear? Because Yahweh God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's our very present help in all sorts of trouble.
Mm.
What a great verse to actually look to this morning.
His word is so powerful, Ron. Mm. I really believe that we all underestimate the power of it.
Yeah.
The power of prayer, the power of his word. It's if we really realized, I think we would do a lot more. We would spend a lot more time in it,
mm-hmm.
Spend the majority of our time in this. But we got to live life. I get that. We all.
Yeah.
A lot of us have jobs to go to, and it's just an amazing time. I think we're busier than ever. So what do we have to do, Ron? Make time. We have to make the time because the culture will tell you don't have time to read this word. Hey, you don't have time not to read. You need to read this. You need to know what it says because
what else do we need?
We need
prayer.
Oh, yeah.
Start us off, Rick, would you?
Yeah, let's pray.
Okay.
Father, Yahweh, our King, our Redeemer, you are love. Father, you are the epitome of love. When you laid your life down, you became one of us. And Father, so you know the struggles, you know the trials, you know the temptations we face today. Help us. Help us navigate, Father, through this journey. Father, we want you to write this chapter in that history book of our lives today. Help us. Help us not to wander off the path. Help us to stay right in the center under the shield, under the wings. Your wings are our mighty, our King. You are our strong tower. And I thank you that we can run to you and we can know that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You are our hiding place. You are our anchor. You are our strength today. And we thank you in advance how you're going to help us journey today. And Father, when those times come, when somebody asks us for the joy or why we are how we are, that we'll be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have that only comes from knowing you, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And we just thank you for this time together. In Yeshua's holy name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. As we stated to you before, at about 8:30, we have the guests coming in, also at 9 o'clock, Oregonians for Medical Freedom. And in case you're listening for the first time, you're going, well, I thought this was, you know, a Christian-type show or a Hebrew show, and maybe we should not talk about politics. But let me give you a couple quotes. These actually come all the way back from 2001. In 2011, all right?
Okay.
Tom Minery, Rick, was a guy.
I've heard of Tom Minery.
Yeah, he actually wrote this book, A Biblical Mandate to Shape Our Culture.
Okay.
And Why You Shouldn't Stay Silent. And so I wanted to read this to you. I thought it was perfect.
Yeah.
Unlike the Roman Empire in the first century, our country is a participatory republic.
Yes.
So let that set in for a minute.
Yeah.
We're called to participate. We have the obligation to make our voices heard and to get involved in dialogue. Now, this was written all the way back in 2001, right?
Yeah, this is 18 years ago.
Yeah, but as you know, dialogue is getting to be short on the stick at the moment.
Oh, everybody's writing, texting.
So our government asks us as citizens to participate, not merely to shut up and obey. How do we know that? In the United States, when there's a quote said, "We the people," means Bible believers just as well as non-Bible believers.
Right.
Submission in our political system includes being willing to contribute to the political process, not to withdraw. So I thought this was important mostly because typically Bible believers have a tendency to withdraw.
Oh, yeah.
But in our participatory republic, we've been asked to participate. So you have a thought, right? I have a thought. We should be able to dialogue about that.
Well, and I believe the enemy wants us to stay silent. He wants us to withdraw and you know, isolate ourselves. Keep going.
Here's another one. This was from Gerson and Warner.
Okay.
And it says this, laws express moral beliefs and judgments. Okay, right?
Uh-huh. Moral beliefs, yeah.
Sure. I mean, we have all sorts of them. We have thousands of them here in the U.S. But like throwing a pebble into a pond, the waves ripple outward. They tell citizens what our society ought to value and what our society should condemn. That is not all that laws do, but it's among the most important things that they do do. Suppose, and this was written back in 2011, okay, so okay. I think this is amazing. Suppose that next year all 50 states, now this sounds old, right? Suppose that next year all 50 states
listen to this now.
Decide to legalize marijuana and cocaine, prostitution, same-sex marriage, et cetera, and regardless of where you stand on the issues, do you doubt that if such laws stayed in effect for 50 years, that they wouldn't fundamentally alter views both in the church schools, the churches, education, your moral views, and within the family.
Can you believe it? 8 years later, here all those things are here.
It's already
eight
safe,
years.
And it wasn't 50 years.
Whoa, 8 years, and this is all history.
It's history.
I mean, it's amazing. Is it shaping our culture? Is it changing our? Yes, it is. And that's where Roland, as his people, Roland, this is the time that we cannot be silent.
No, we can't be silent.
We can't be.
Chuck Colson wrote this in God and Government. This is one of his books, and I thought we would read this just to get your juices still going. The state was instituted by God to restrain sin and promote a just social order. Now, most of you are going, wait a minute, really? How is that instituted by God? Well, let's just keep going on this. Western political thought often mistakenly assumes that the role of government is determined solely by the will of the people. The biblical reality is different. So let's get the reality.
Yeah.
On the eve of Yeshua's execution, Jesus told Pilate that he held his office of political authority only because it had been granted to him by God.
His father, yes.
Wow.
And that's what the Bible says, that leaders are put in place by Yahweh.
So why are governments put in positions? Now, get a hold of this, because I think this is amazing. The Apostle Paul spoke of civil authority as God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. So let's give an example of this. Now, do you remember Israel and Judah back in the old biblical times?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they decided they'd keep leaving God out of the picture, correct?
Right.
And so what kingdom came in and said, hey, well, we're going to take you captive and you're going to bring us and we're going to use you as slaves? Remember
well,
the Babylonian?
Yeah, Babylonian, yes.
So there was an institution.
They hauled them off. Yeah.
And there was wrath and judgment done.
Because, but remember why it happened. They were disobedient to his Torah, his instruction. And that's, we got to learn by that, don't we, Roland?
Yeah.
I mean, we can't just say, oh, that was just history. Why do we know history? So
and we don't do it again.
We
hopefully.
Don't repeat it. You know,
I
wish somebody would have told me that in my history class. Nobody ever, I said, why do we got to know this stuff? Well, I know now.
This is, I think, which is amazing. Sometimes the state doesn't do its job.
Right.
Sometimes it does the opposite, promoting sin instead of restraining it, and actively undermining our social and moral foundations instead of supporting them. So when that happens, if I have a voice, according to some of these articles, whether I believe in the Bible or not, I'm called to maybe stand up and say, here's my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And
even if it's contrary to what the
state wants,
what the government says is right.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have wandered so far off, aren't we? And just like one of the gentlemen that's on, you've a lot of heard, Mark Call, he says, if they will throw God's laws out, they're sure going to throw man's laws out.
Yeah.
And that's true. It's true. And we've thrown his now. Now, you know, we're seeing more and more and more lawlessness, Torahlessness. And everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes.
And along with that, an aggressive towards dialogue. You know, if you and I
want
to
stifle
dialogue.
Our voice, yeah. See, that's what they want to do. And the disciples, they says, don't preach about this. Mm-hmm. He says, well, we have to share the good news. We can't be silent.
I was just thinking that, Rick. I mean, you said we have to share the good news.
Yes.
So many times we always look
we're commanded to.
So there is a good news that's going on, right?
Oh, in all this chaos, there's good news.
Good news, chariots are coming. Good news.
Yes. So, you know, look, the good news, look upward. Our redemption draws nigh. This stuff is going to come on the earth. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be surprised by it. But in fact, we should be encouraged by it. And people are going to see that shalom, that peace that you mm-hmm. have on your face, Ron, when they see that, you know, you're not, I don't know what you have, mm-hmm. brother, but whatever it is, you got to tell me about it because I need it.
So then rather being afraid of standing up.
It says don't be. How many times does it say don't be afraid?
A ton.
I mean, hundreds and hundreds of times in his word, do not be afraid.
Yeah, but is there, I mean, what I want to question about, you know, we've always been afraid to stand up mm-hmm. against things like abortion or things that are forced on us. But if we actually stand up and a life is saved or a life is changed, isn't that good news?
That is a good thing.
Right. So so rather than being afraid to do something, maybe stand up and do it. Man.
Stand up for righteousness.
Yeah.
And boy, you know, there's going to be some, the other side's going to push back because the evil one does not like you standing for his truth.
So maybe if you don't think that we, maybe you're thinking that we're going down the wrong path here. And,
no, we're not.
And you're going, hey, you know, you guys shouldn't talk like that and we shouldn't get involved. You can become part of the conversation. You can write into us at the number 3
wise guys
at
hebrewnation.net
or
call in today 503-589-1220.
You can get on with us for about the next 2 minutes.
You gotta do it now.
And then we're gonna have our guests on at 8:30 here. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna have Amber Sims coming on at 8:30. And she's been heavily involved in Oregonians for Medical Freedom. And she's going to talk to us about some of the efforts that they make in allowing freedom for you, for choices that you want to make. And then Robert Sneal will be coming on at 9 o'clock. He's a lawyer, going to talk to us a little bit more about the national viewpoint of medical freedom.
Because I'm kind of turning into a vaccination activist.
Okay.
And you know, I've been researching this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And man, you gotta be, you know, what does his word say? My people perish for lack of knowledge. Folks, we gotta know both sides of this debate
in order to make a good decision.
Yes, to make a good, hey, you exhaust all, there's a whole library of things that are very, very toxic to these children. That the other side is not. In fact, they're telling you it will boost their immune systems.
Hmm.
And there's a lot of other science that says no, it will tear down their immune system, weaken those mm-hmm. little immune systems of those children. So we have to be aware. We have to have knowledge in this. All these fields that are coming upon us, Ron, and it's all here. Mm-hmm. So we're not waiting for it anymore.
I like the idea that if I have knowledge, at least I know what questions to ask.
And you can make an educated decision.
Right.
You know, that's why you have to do all the research. Man, this is a big thing. I mean, everybody has the same when they give their children this MMR vaccine, all the parents are telling the same thing. What happened? All of a sudden their kid just checked out.
Yeah.
And man, there's a common denominator here, and we have to know what it is, and we have to be, as his people, not just like the world, just, you know, take face value what we're being told, because a lot of it is just not true.
Right. So Looking forward to that happening very soon. Make sure that you tell your friends and family. Yes. Tune in to Hebrew Nation Radio. You can listen to it live or in just a couple minutes.
To Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the Wise Guys right here in Salem, Oregon, and we're just glad to have you. And Rick, it's good to be with you this morning.
It is a beautiful morning.
I know, right? Hey, well, we are super excited. As we've been telling you before, in the last half hour, we have a special guest on with us this morning. Her name is Amber Sims, and she's been really responsible for helping things move along for something that's called Oregonians for Medical Freedom. And we just want to welcome her right now. She's on the line with us. I'm excited. Amber, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I'm doing a lot better now that 3063, the Bill and Oregon mandate vaccine, has been tabled for this legislative season.
Right. Now, were you at the Capitol when we all pushed back on that, Amber?
Oh, yes. I've made many trips to the Capitol this legislative season. I didn't think I'd be ever so involved with state government.
Well, it was a wonderful day, and there's a time when people have to push back, isn't there?
Yeah.
I believe so. I think a line was really drawn in the sand with this particular bill. It would have made Oregon, I think, the worst with regard to vaccine mandates, was much stricter than what did actually pass in California in 2015.
Wow.
Well, we need to find out about this stuff, Amber, and we're just dying to find out. So first, let's just start off with, who are you and what got you so involved in something like this? Now, you just mentioned up California, and now you're involved in Oregon, but how did you do this? And, you know, so give us a background of where you come from and why you got involved.
Well, thank you, for the opportunity to speak today. Like my own story, everyone who gets involved has their own personal story. You know, we didn't ask to be on this path with a very controversial subject. I was vaccinated when I was in college in 2005, and that's really what put me on the path to continue to dig and to watch over. What I have learned is really reckless industry. Vaccine manufacturers, don't carry any liability for this product.
Mm-hmm.
I have had to recover myself from a pretty major injury. I was given 4 different vaccines in one day, the Hep A, the Hep B, the MMR, and the BVAP. And so it was through my own experience and past that I started connecting with others who shared similar stories. And I was actually living in California at the time. I'm a native California gal. And as I watched the bill in California come up, SB 277, 2015, it became very, very alarming that they were trying to change state law to mandate all of these liability-free products, which clearly are not a one-size-fits-all for every single person all of the time. But this is what the legislation effectively does. And as we see in medicine today, there's a need to be individualized. There's a need to look at genetics, family history, why this one area of medicine doesn't receive the same careful attention is beyond. And the doctors who are really up to date with genetics and look at a bigger picture with any pharmaceutical product, I think, do right by their patients.
Wow. So you were personally affected by this, and you decided to get involved. But how do you get the guts to do something like that? I mean, like you said at the beginning, you're called to do something and talk about something that's not viewed in a very positive way, because none of us want to question our doctors. None of us want to question what the maybe state is asking us to do, because they know everything, right? So what gave you the guts to get involved?
Well, I would say that I had a lot of fear, and I felt a lot of fear as the legislation pushed in 2015 in a number of different states really came up. And it was difficult to get over that, but we made the decision to move to Oregon, and I felt like I was tasked with either getting over that fear and finding a purpose with the knowledge that I had gained in that last decade from 2005, my degree, to 2015, or I could continue living with fear. And it felt like I knew the right decision for me was to find more purpose and use the knowledge I had gained and continue to connect with others. And I was very, very blessed to find a group and the fan page, Oregonians for Freedom.
Wow.
You know, they have a Facebook presence, and that's how I came across them. And pretty shortly after I moved, I was asked to be on the executive committee because of my specific skill set.
Wow.
And this whole movement in every state is just filled with phenomenal people of all backgrounds, all political affiliations. It's very multicultural. There are physicians and educators and business owners, you know, thought leaders, scientists, moms, you know, dads, grandparents, and you name it. And all of us have some sort of story to tell, or a story for the family member or child to tell. And I think that that's what's so unique about this movement. Vaccine injury can hit, you know, anyone. You don't necessarily anticipate it, of course. So I think that that brings people together on a very organic, grassroots level. And that's why there was such a consistent presence in Salem, and had a number of different leaders in the group do a phenomenal job leading and building deep relationships with some of the legislators who, thankfully, opposed the bill that we saw this year in Oregon. And it was through the leadership and the grassroots efforts that we were able to prevail this legislative season. But there are legislators who are upset, who were opponents of this bill. And they're saying that it's going to come back, and it might even come back this next legislative season, which is a short one for Oregon, which is not typically a time when they bring back such a big bill, but they're wanting to do so. They're upset that it was taken off the table.
Amber, you want to hold on just for a second.
Sure.
Are you on a cell phone, and do you have a good reception there? Because we're getting some in and out with you. What's it like on that end?
I have been tapped in. I don't seem to have an issue, but whatever you guys are experiencing.
Are you on a speakerphone?
No, I have it right up my ear.
Interesting. Huh. Okay. Well, we're just going to have to live with it.
Yeah, I guess we will.
Sorry. Hey, so tell us more about this.
Let me switch from Wi-Fi. Maybe it's on Wi-Fi, and I can
okay.
see the network.
Yeah.
Let me just try that one moment. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Let's see if that works.
Yeah, we have to be able to hear well, you know, especially us older, mature guys.
Okay.
All right. I think so. Try again.
Okay, well, I am connected to network and not Wi-Fi, right?
It's a little bit better.
I think it is.
Hey, so tell us about this bill that was local, What exactly was in this bill, and why should we have been interested in it?
Yes, absolutely. Well, the bill itself is called House Bill 3063, and it was a vaccine mandate bill that would have impacted every child here in Oregon. And currently, Oregon has non-medical exemptions that are called personal belief exemptions, and it has both the religious and philosophical exemptions in that same. And then we have, and medical exemptions are very hard to obtain. There's a very narrow set of guidelines which you can get a medical. So there are countless families, thousands of families, that rely on the medical exemption.
The what exemption? Say that. What exemption was that?
The personal belief exemption.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's considered a non-medical exemption. However, there are thousands of families that rely on that for medical reasons. The narrow set of guidelines with which you can get a medical exemption don't really cover the latest scientific science. The ACIP guidelines, the Advisory Council on Immunization Practices, or the current guidelines that Oregon Health Authority utilizes for medical exemptions really only cover if you have cancer or you've had previous anaphylactic shock to a previous dose of vaccine. And that would grant you a medical exemption. But there are a number of children who have family history of vaccine injury. They have genetic predispositions, making them more susceptible to vaccine injury. And those aren't currently recognized medical reasons not to get a vaccine, which is not appropriate. So House Bill 3063 would have removed personal belief in the non-medical exemption. And there are 38,000 children in Oregon who currently rely on a non-medical exemption. And they file those to school, and whether it's for one dose of vaccine or all 31 doses, depending on the medical reasons choice and those who make the doctor. So these 38,000 children, if this law had passed, would have either had to comply with the vaccine mandate and get all doses, get caught up in order to go to not just public school, but a private school, charter school, even a homeschool co-op and daycare. So these 38,000 children and their families would have been forced to either comply or have their education held hostage.
Very extreme. Now, this is on all sides of the aisle, right, Amber? Republican, Democrats, Independents, all folks are coming against this.
Absolutely. This is the opposition to this bill was probably the full spectrum, not just of political background, but socioeconomic background. It's very multicultural. We had a several faith groups come and oppose the bill. grandparents were there, you know, lots of different professionals, as I mentioned, many doctors were against this, because it makes it so that they have a hard time practicing individualized medicine.
Wow, incredible. have you seen Vaccines Revealed, the 20-hour of medical professionals addressing the other side of the dangers of vaccinations, Amber?
Yes, I have seen much of that. I'm not sure if I've seen all hours.
Yeah, it's
I vividly remember Dr. Brian Hooker.
Yeah, Dr. Brian Herker. Yeah, Dr. Tenpenny. She has studied this 18,000 hours and just studying it. And she, people need to hear from healthcare professionals truly the other side of this debate, because there is substantial evidence that it is very detrimental to the you were an adult, Amber, when you were injured, and look at the little children that are just, they want to vaccinate these children before they leave the hospital. I mean, really, Hep B before, I mean.
So, Amber, I am wondering if you can describe to us the mood of what's going in at the House or the Senate floors when this thing is going on. I mean, where are our legislators? What's the voice of the people being like? Can you give us a sense of what went on to help defeat this bill?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it comes down to relationships that the leaders that are going to medical freedom were able to form with legislators. I got to know several legislators. The most outspoken opponents of this bill were, in fact, Republicans. And the biggest proponents of this bill were Democrats.
Wow.
The bill here in Oregon was introduced by a Republican, and she's been a Republican since 2013, Gary Helf in the Bend area. And there was one other Republican who was a sponsor on the bill, and the rest were Democrats.
Wow.
But we saw partisan politics really at the committee level. There were many amendments introduced by Republicans to try to, humanize the bill, because, you know, to allow for medical exemptions with children with disabilities or previous physicians, individualized education plans, you know, IEPs, and all of these amendments that would have brought substantive balance were shot down by Democrats every single time. And I speak to a lifelong Democrat, and I don't recognize the party when it comes to this particular bill. It is very disheartening. Yeah. And people like myself have really questioned whether they will be voting Democrat in the future, because this issue hits so close to home, and it's so extreme.
So is the intent, I mean, the people who put together this bill, are they mostly doing it out of a sense of we're going to save the world by making sure people are vaccinated? I mean, where's the heart of the issue? Is it for a lack of knowledge? Is it more about an agenda? I mean, how do we approach people that are supporting this bill? And what could you recommend for us to do when we're saying, hey, we don't want this, but let's see if we can do it in a proper way. I don't know, but educate us there.
Yeah, I think the word educate is the most important thing, to communicate with our neighbors and our family members and the businesses we interact with. That's paramount. Again, this industry has protections like no other industry out there with regard to liability. You know, there was a class action lawsuit against Merck, the manufacturer that made a number of the different childhood vaccines on the schedule. They were sued by section suit because of Vioxx. They hid data that showed that Vioxx caused harm before it was released. And they released it anyway. So it's very, for me, because I was injured, I find it really important to tell people that these companies, you know, are not safe. Why would we hold them in that light with regard to child vaccines? I think that safe vaccines are something that need a lot more attention. And there are a number of groups that are uncovering information through FOIA requests and through for research. There's some great coverage. And it's important to stay up with the latest. The MMR in particular, according to data that was just released recently, the pre-licensure data shows that it was causing a lot of harm in the child before he would like it. Hmm. And this information just came out in the earlier this month, FOIA request. And even prior to that, this last fall, through a FOIA request, the same group, that I mentioned them, informed an active network. They do an amazing amount of work, and Del Bigsby, who helped run that, is the one who helped produce that. A very important document that I think people should watch. It's not an anti-vaccine documentary. It looks at the data manipulation within the CDC. But their FOIA request in the fall showed that Health and Human Services that was tasked with doing biennial safety reports, so safety reports this year, since the 1986 National Vaccine Childhood Act, they have not done one safety report follow-up. So as a governing agency, they were supposed to, you know, help with that, been negligent, which is concerning.
So that was VaxTheMovie.com. I bought several copies and getting them out to whomever will watch them. I'm serious because this is serious stuff. And you don't want to have your child injured before you wake up, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to be educated, just like Amber said.
So, Amber, give us some information about Oregonians for Medical Freedom. I mean, if people become part of this group, I mean, what exactly do they do? Are they approaching senators individually? Are they raising funds to create more of a grassroots thing to where, you know, what exactly is Oregonians for Medical Freedom?
Yes, Oregonians for Medical Freedom is really a group that actually came out of the woodwork with the original funding members when Oregon saw a similar bill also in 2015. And that bill was introduced by Elizabeth Edwards, and she is not who introduced the 2019 bill, but she testified in favor of it, and she really is the architect of this year's bill, too.
Hmm.
And so a lot of people came out to testify against that bill, and from that started this movement here in Oregon, trying to protect medical freedom. And everyone gives how they can, whether it's just time and resources, joined up at the Capitol, having conversations with legislators. They might help to organize something in their part of Oregon, an educational awareness event. They would make phone calls and send emails to legislators, send letters, you know, thank you letters. We see that there's people who oppose a particular bill. I think that there are professionals like myself who bring a specific kind of skill set. I was really blessed to use some of my efforts as a publicist to try to get radio and television and articles published to show the other side of the issue.
Right.
And ultimately, we are arguing that parents and physicians and patients should have voices. Full informed consent does not involve coercion.
Nice.
And this is really what coercion was the root of this particular bill, holding a child hostage without fully complying is the very definition of coercion.
Yeah, I agree. Amber, we have like a minute and a half. I want to ask you one last question. In today's society, people think that they cannot make a difference, that their voice is no longer heard, but evidently, in this case, it was. What was the deciding factor that got legislators to change their mind?
Well, ultimately, the Republicans walked out the Democrats, and so they negotiated on our behalf, and this was one of a couple bills that they had as bills that they wanted off the table this season. And so they negotiated with Democrats, ultimately, knowing they had a tremendous amount of support and new vigor, actually, for the Republican Party, I believe, because of this particular bill. They were able to have it removed this season from the table. So we are extremely grateful for all of the legislators who went to bat for us, knowing that collectively we have created a huge grassroots movement. And we've built a lot of relationships that will be important and paramount if they try to reintroduce it.
I love it. Mm. Amber, thank you so much for coming on with us. You are a blessing, and I'm just glad you're out there.
Welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, and good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the Wise Guys, and it is a gorgeous day here in Salem, Oregon. Mm. We've been exploring vaccinations and that kind of stuff, and whether or not we are supposed to take them or being held captive and being told that we have to take them. What do we do with them? There was a bill that just came up here in Oregon, and it was defeated, and we're going to be exploring that just a little bit more with Bob Snee. And we just want to thank him for being here with the Oregonians for Medical Freedom, right? Yeah. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Morning, Bob.
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, we're excited to have you on.
Yes, we are.
You know, we had just finished talking to a person from Oregon for Medical Freedom, and her name was Amber, and I think you know her. Gave a fantastic testimony of why she got involved in this. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Bob, and who are you, and how did you get involved with Oregonians for Medical Freedom?
Sure. I lived in Oregon since 1982. I moved here to go to law school from the East Coast.
Uh-huh.
And I have been a practicing attorney in private practice since 1985. In the mid-90s, started my family. And my son had some reactions when his second round of vaccines, which got me interested in doing research into the area. And I've been involved politically pretty much since 2001.
Wow.
Our current governor, Kate Brown, was actually a law school classmate of mine.
Uh-huh.
Back in 2001, she was a state senator, and she introduced a bill at my request that would have added a philosophical exemption to vaccines. Back at that time, we only had a religious exemption, and I did not belong to a church that itself was opposed to vaccines, although I had my own personal objections to it. And I didn't want to be a hypocrite claiming a religious exemption that I didn't think I was entitled to.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Can you tell us a little bit more about your son? You said your son had an adverse reaction to what kind of shot or what kind of vaccine?
Well, we think it was the DTP, DTaP vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And he initially, I guess his whole body swelled up. He didn't urinate for 24 hours. He went from speaking 3 and 4 word sentences to not speaking for several months.
Wow.
He ended up having some bowel issues and some other things that we dealt with. And over the years, we treated with him with a naturopathic doctor to try to help detox him. He had constant food allergies, sensitivities. His cheeks were always rosy red. And he hadn't been that way prior to the vaccines.
Interesting. You know, there's so many stories that I've heard from parents, and it's just amazing to me. What was this bill that came up recently? Can you explain it to us? I mean, Amber did a little bit, but the recent bill that was voted down, what was it? What were the requirements, and what was going to happen if that bill were to pass?
Well, I guess some politicians don't like to let any crisis go to waste. So because of the recent outbreak of measles across the river in Vancouver, a second attempt to pass a law that will eliminate all non-medical exemptions to vaccines was proposed. Back in 2015, a similar bill was also proposed by a state senator who apparently was the one behind the scenes working, trying to push this one through. But the bill would have not only eliminated the philosophical and religious exemptions, it also would have created a very draconian system for reviewing medical exemptions.
Really?
It would have imposed not only a oversight by the state Oregon Health Authority and local health departments, but also reviewed by the licensing boards of naturopaths, doctors, and nurse practitioners.
And what would that have been for? What would that review be for? I mean, what are they trying to find?
No other area of medicine is a doctor have his licensing board looking over his shoulder, testing whether or not he exercised his medical independent medical judgment properly. The bill also required that the medical exemptions be comply with a interpretation of the ACIP guidelines, the Committee on Immunization Practices of the CDC,
okay,
which is a very restrictive guideline. Many things that are contraindications or adverse events don't qualify as exemptions under those guidelines.
Okay.
If you have a sibling who is severely injured, that doesn't allow other siblings to pass because of a medical exemption. And it would have been a very restrictive list of medical exemptions. And Oregon, as it is now, has the Oregon Health Authority overseeing and has to approve every medical exemption. And there's only, I think, 708 medical exemptions throughout the entire state. Yet there are over 31,500 people who claim a religious or philosophical exemption.
Interesting. So basically what I'm hearing you is that the doctor no longer would have had the authority. Maybe they still do. But from what I'm even hearing from your recent comment here is that doctors are under the authority of the state, not necessarily of their own understanding of what they're dealing with a patient. They have to comply. Is that what I'm hearing?
Pretty much so. I mean, the doctor is the one who has the best information, who knows the patient, knows the family history, and is in a much better position to decide whether or not that person should qualify for an exemption of vaccine. Yet, bureaucrats through the Oregon Health Department, local health authority, put handcuffs on them exercising that judgment and say, unless it fits these narrow parameters, we're not going to approve the exercise of your medical judgment.
Wow. So what is driving that philosophy? Is it fear? Is it money? Is it control? I mean, what exactly is the fundamental driving force with that, or can you say?
I think it's control, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And Oregon's not the only state that's faced this. There were laws or bills introduced in over 33 states around the country this year that would have restricted the right to exemptions to vaccines.
Interesting. So you're a lawyer. where do you see this going? I mean, you just said 33 states. I mean, do people have a chance to be represented by the law to help combat this, or is it a railroad thing that's just going on? Evidently, we were able to win here in Oregon. How do you see the future fight? How's the future arena doing in this area?
It's well, fortunately, several states also defeated similar measures. Unfortunately, Maine is a state where it did pass, where initially the Senate removed from the bill the elimination of the religious exemption. When it came back to them after a conference with the House, they put that thing back into the bill. So now the religious exemption is going to no longer be allowed in Maine.
In Maine?
Other states, Oklahoma, I think Florida, Minnesota possibly have also, and Connecticut, have retained the religious exemption. It's a matter of, we've got to separate farmer from state.
Mm-hmm.
The farm influence of farmer lobbyists more than three times the what the energy department or energy industry spends on lobbying.
Really?
They have pretty much controlled Congress in Washington, and they spread the influence to legislatures throughout the states as well. And it's not the people who are calling for this, but they've got a intricate network of non-governmental organizations, associations that have filled our public health department, and they're all pushing the pharma vaccines are great, vaccines are safe and effective mantra.
Hmm. So tell me this. If that's being pushed by pharma and it's being pushed on to us through laws and legislation, or they're trying to, what are our rights as individuals, or do we have any when medication goes wrong? Okay, so like if this vaccine's gone wrong on my son or my child, and do I have any chance to address that in a court of law, or am I just thrown out? How does this work?
We still have courts of law that will recognize our rights. There are some courts that will – it's still a constitutional debate whether or not the religious exemption is constitutionally required.
Mm-hmm.
One of the issues is that we have is international law. We've got the Nuremberg Code, and we've also got the Universal Declaration of Bioethics and Human Rights, which every country, including the U.S., every country that belongs to the U.N. has signed on to. And that declaration states, it's non-binding, unfortunately, but what that declaration states is that every human has the right to give a prior free informed consent for any therapeutic, preventative, or diagnostic medical procedure.
Mm-hmm.
Vaccines are a preventative medical procedure.
Okay.
And informed consent is just that. If you understand the risks and benefits and decide that the risks outweigh the benefits, you've got the right to say no and decline that medical procedure. That declaration says that the right individual are never subsided or never lower than the rights of society or the rights of science in general.
Mm-hmm.
The individual rights are always paramount.
So let me give you an example. Okay, and say I'm a parent and my child just broke their arm, and I go to the hospital and the doctors say, well, is he currently vaccinated? And I would say maybe, well, no, I would just like you to deal with the arm. What would be my rights there? And can I still say no to the vaccination if they were to really push that and say, well, you have to have this and we aren't going to work on him unless he has the vaccination? So that's my first question. And then if vaccination is given, can I choose how to maybe split up a vaccination? Like take, for instance, there's studies showing that the MMR as a combination has maybe been one of the problems, that you have less risk if you're given the measles by themselves, the mumps by themselves, and the rubella by themselves. So I know that's a big question, but how do I – approach doctors if I were to go to the hospital and they say you have to have this? And then number two, is there an option that I can take when I'm being told that I have to have it?
Answering number one first, you definitely have the right to find the vaccine. What you're going to get is a hard pressure and possibly threatened to be turned over to Child Protective Services for medical neglect.
Wow.
I actually introduced 2 years ago a bill that would have modified the definition of child neglect to exclude the fact that merely not vaccinating in and of itself does not constitute medical neglect.
Mm-hmm.
We had a hearing on the bill, but it never got out of committee, unfortunately. We did get a memorandum sent around DHS workers from the head of DHS advising intake workers that if you get a call complaining that there's medical neglect and the only claim is not vaccinating, that is not neglect. Problem is the doctors need to be told that, not the caseworkers.
Yeah.
Because doctors and hospitals still threaten people and bully people and say that they're going to turn you over to DHS if you don't comply. With respect to separating the MMR, unfortunately, manufacturers have taken that option away from us. Mm-hmm. They no longer produce a separate measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. And in this country, the U.S., only one country manufactures the MMR, and that's Merck.
Yeah.
They've got a monopoly on it throughout the country.
Wow. I thought our government was supposed to battle against monopolies. maybe I'm wrong. But basic government, when I was in high school, had told me that, but that was years ago.
It was a few decades ago.
Yeah, unfortunately, too many of our regulatory agencies have been captured by the industries they're supposed to regulate.
Wow.
And you've got a revolving door between the CDC and pharma that there's been three separate audits by the General Accounting Office, and in their words, the RFK's quoted it, RFK Jr. says, the CDC is a cesspool of corruption in conflicts of interest.
Yeah. So let me go back to that parent that's getting strong-armed by the doctor. What are the words that should come out of that parent's mouth if they're being strong-armed? And or should they say anything?
After Bob comments, I want to comment
here's,
on
here's
that.
Here's the thing that they need to do.
Okay.
First off, when they arrive at the hospital, they're going to be given a form that says consent to medical procedures. Hidden in that form is going to be the word, you know, standard medical procedures and biologic. Biologic is the word that they will use on informed consent to reference vaccines.
Okay.
So when you're signing the initial consent form, when you check into the hospital or emergency room, don't just sign the form, read it. And if you see any language in there that refers to consent to giving any biologic, cross that off and initial it.
Oh.
You're not giving consent,
yes.
Written consent, you're giving them vaccines.
Okay.
Yeah, good information. And, you know, another thing, Bob, I would say, I says, if you can sign here that you can guarantee my child will have no reactions to this, then I will take it. But they can't. They won't do that, will they?
No, they won't.
See?
It's all upon you.
They won't do that. It's all your problem.
Complete immunity to liability if anything goes wrong, as well as the manufacturer.
See, back in the 80s, I've done a little research on this. Back in the 80s, the Reagan administration passed a law that these companies could not be held liable for giving these. And after that, that's when all these vaccinations, because they couldn't be held liable when people were injured by them. So what is that going to do? They said, oh, follow the money.
Well,
and now, you know.
But are they liable? Can you get around that?
So. I don't think so. Right? Is that right, Bob?
Unfortunately, even worse than the 1986 Act, which did take away the right to manufacturers and doctors for liability, gave them immunity. There is a 2011 Supreme Court case which even further restricted the right.
Wow.
Bruce Whitworth Wyeth, I believe is the name of the case. And it further limited the right to go after manufacturers any design defects. After your attempt to go through compensation through the National Vaccine Information Compensation Program, which is a federal court claim, all of the damages paid through that are paid by you and I as consumers for every vaccine that we buy. There's a 75-cent excise tax on every vaccine that goes into a fund to pay for those who are injured by vaccines.
And there has been billions of dollars paid out from that fund. Billions.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Correct. As of last December or November, they crossed the $4 billion threshold.
See? Now, this is – okay, but this is not from the companies. This is from the government. This is our tax money going to pay for
it. Well, you know who the government gets their money from. The government doesn't have money. They get it from us, the taxpayers.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay, so Bob, I don't want to lose this because we only have you on for about 4.5 more minutes, and I want to stay somewhat in a ray of hope. Tell us, what are our rights as parents or as individuals? Do we have any rights, and what would those be if I don't want a vaccine? Can you describe to us that? What can we stand on?
Well, here in Oregon, we've got the right to a religious exemption and philosophical exemption still.
Okay.
What we need to do is be prepared for when legislatures introduce a bill and try to pass it once again. So we've got to activate people to write to the legislatures, send them emails, talk to them, meet them in person, explain that it's a violation of our rights as parents, and convince them not to pass this law.
Okay.
Now, fortunately, in 47 states around the country, we still have non-medical exemptions. There are three states that you don't have them: West Virginia, Mississippi, and California.
So. Wow. Okay. So when it comes to if the doctor turns me in to child care services, what's my rights there? How do I speak to them, or do I not speak to them and just say I'm going to get a hold of my lawyer? I mean, what are our rights?
Pretty much, unless they have a warrant, you don't have to let them into your house. You don't have to say anything to them.
Okay. So I can stand on that and say you're not welcome in my house. I have to have a warrant. What if I've heard stories about they come right to the hospital and they take your child. Is that true or is that untrue?
I'm actually got a course in federal court right now for a violation of Civil Rights Act 1983 case involving a couple that gave birth, and within 10 hours the state came in, took custody, ordered vaccines and other medical procedures over the parents' objection before getting any court approval of the temporary custody. I can't comment on it much further than that, but there is a federal case pending right now regarding that.
So what I'm hearing you say is that we should probably get involved rather than sitting back on our rear ends. And Oregon's for Medical Freedom is a pretty good thing to get involved with. Is that what I'm hearing?
It's a great organization. We're bipartisan, actually multipartisan. There's people from all political persuasions, from the far right to the far left and everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
There are people in the organization who are completely anti-vax. There are others who believe in vaccinations but don't believe that the government should be in the position of mandating medical procedures over anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping to put on some educational seminars in the coming months and inform people about the situation and what their rights are, as well as the risks of vaccines, which the government and pharma never want to talk about.
Right. Man, Robert, Bob,
yeah. I know.
Boy, I just want to thank you straight up for the time and energy that you've put into this. I want to thank you for coming on the air with us this morning. I know you're a busy man, and for you to just take a moment out to do this, I just am so appreciative of what you're doing, and I just want to make sure that you know that. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. And Oregon's what is that?
There's one thing I'd really like to say.
Do it.
One of the things that Oregon Health Authority has at Dornbecker's Children's Hospital is a poster talking about the past, present, and future of vaccines. And it talks about future vaccines modifying DNA to help fight disease.
Ooh.
And I don't know about you, I think that should scare same person.
That's creepy.
What gives Pharma the right to play God with our children's DNA?
Oh, wow.
Thanks for sharing that. Thanks. Bye. Super. Thanks, sir.
To Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
Back and we're ready to give a big hey because man we were learning some information.
Man, yeah, we're getting well in the folks. This is not a doomsday thing. We have options, and they want to tell you it's hopeless. That's what the world tells us. That's what our adversary tells us. Hmm. But we know better as his people. We'll do it his way. Hey, we're not accountable to you.
Mm-hmm.
We're accountable to him. And so don't, you know, understand that's just a sign of the times. And they're not in control. They think they'll act mm-hmm. like they are, but they're not.
Well, I think it's amazing, you know, from Amber's testimony
uh-huh.
that had come on,
uh-huh.
is people did make a difference.
They did.
They did make a difference.
People started to push back and let their voices be heard. Guess what?
Mm.
They backed off. Because, and folks, this is just the beginning. This is going to come back again.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be proactive, not reactive. We got to be proactive to what's happening. We got to discern the times. We got to let our voices. The time of sitting on the sidelines watching everybody else run is over. It's over. I mean, we got to all do our little part. We don't have to do much, but we got to let our voices be heard. And not get discouraged and know that our Heavenly Father has it all under control.
You know, not only that, I mean, we learned in Psalms 46,
mm-hmm.
1 and 2 today,
that,
you know, he has it under control. Do you have that text up?
Yes, I have it right. Let me read it again.
Yeah, 1 and 2, 46.
God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, see, even though everything's shaken around us, not to fear, not to be that our Heavenly Father, and we're not accountable to them, we're accountable to Him. And when they start to write legislation that comes against our biblical world mm-hmm. view, they're overstepping their bounds because.
You know,
they have no right to do that.
I actually want to take this from another angle, I think.
Okay.
Okay, because we know what's happening.
Uh-huh.
But to me, when you read that verse again,
mm-hmm.
the thing that came to my mind, Rick, was...
He's our strength.
Strength to do what? So I'm thinking not only just to stand up...
He's our refuge and strength, a very help.
But I don't want to be standing up like a fool without knowing anything.
You've got to be educated.
Thank you.
You have to be. You have to know. And the thing is, if you don't know your rights, you don't have them. You have to know.
Not only the rights, but knowing what things do and what they're about. You mm-hmm. know, when I look at great leaders within the Bible, when I look at Moses and Joseph and Daniel and Paul, most of them knew the laws of their land. Okay?
Yep.
They were willing to stand up to authority. They were willing to share the information that they had. And so the fundamental question for me, and we only have about, 20 minutes left, is what has caused us as a people, as Christian groups and Bible mm-hmm. believers, what has caused us to not want to be educated or proactive? What has caused us to pull into a shell and duck our head in.
I think we get we get apathetic.
Is that it?
You know, and we're all busy. Everybody's busy.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll do it. They have time.
Someone else will do it.
Let somebody else do it. I really think that's the majority. That's kind of the majority of us, how we look at things. And I think it's a trap of the evil one. I really think we have to be proactive. We have to discern the times. And believe me, they're coming after what we believe.
Yeah, you know
what? They really are.
When I looked at this Oregonians for Medical Freedom, most of these people, they're all volunteering. And, mm-hmm. and like the two people that we brought on, Amber had a skill set dealing with journalism and with TV broadcasting. And Bob Snee has a background in law. Now, yeah. I would think they're pretty busy, right?
Well, and they
made time.
You've got to make time for what's important.
Wow.
See? That's why, the time of sitting on the sidelines
is over. According
is
to yeah.
gone. It's time to let our voices be heard.
Time to be heard.
And for righteousness, you know, to stand. Because this is just the little stuff, Ron. This is just the beginning. Of the birth pains. I really believe that. We got a ways to go, I think.
If the government, from what they were saying, what we were learning, mm-hmm. okay, if the government has the right to come in and say, we will inject a substance into you and you don't get a choice, then what's the next step after that?
Well,
choices start to get less and less, or we will take a child away from you because we don't believe that the parents actually have a choice. Then what's the next step? Or we can come into your home and we can make this happen. Then what's the next step? So, yeah, it's a downhill slope, and we need to be aware of it and start arming up with knowledge, with understanding, with education.
Education.
You know, so, wow, man, that's a tall order for us,
I think. That's why he tells us, my people perish for lack of knowledge. See, we have to know and discern the times and let our voices be heard. I think that's.
And I don't think you're too old to do that or too young.
You're never too old.
Or too young. I mean, I have seen kids out there at 7, 8 years old putting on a YouTube video.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
And showing stuff. So,
yeah.
What do you guys think out there? 503
589
1220. You can call in. We have a few minutes left. What do you think is holding people back? From maybe doing something. Maybe you're a person that's been held back and you haven't wanted to be proactive in areas such as this. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
What do you think the solution is of getting people up and running? So you can do that at 503-589-1220. Maybe it's a lack of knowledge. Maybe it's you're thinking maybe religious people shouldn't get involved. That's true. And maybe you have a good point for that. I don't want to be thinking that we're making a judgment call on this. I actually want to know what you think. And Rick wants to know what you think.
Yeah, we need to know what you think. Even if it's contrary to what we believe, we can. Hey, we'll always be respectful.
Yeah, always.
So always.
Call us in at 503-589-1220 if you're listening to this. Another thing that I want to encourage you for is if you're on the Hebrew Nation Radio right now and you've probably had a chance to be on the website and you see something on there saying, hey, thanks for listening, thanks for supporting, the website's down right now. Yes, it is.
For how long, Ron, do you think? Another week or two?
Probably about another week, you know, but we're streamlining it. We're going
to
be making
it
so much better for all of you, and we're looking forward to it. But the radio shows are still scheduled, okay, and it's still playing 24/7, and it's still free to you. And so Hebrew Nation Radio is still playing, and it's still out there. And when it comes back up, you'll be able to still hear some of these shows that will be archived, and we can bring you back up to date. Okay, so don't lose hope. And, I just want to tell you that.
So much information, so much. And again, I encourage you to get – it's a documentary of medical professionals. It's called Vaxxed the Video. I ordered 10 copies because I want people to know. And if I can do a little part. And then there's another one. Pull it up online, Vaccines Revealed.
Uh-huh.
Vaccines Reveal. Pull that up, and there's a whole bunch of medical professionals, 20 plus hours of just, and there's like 10 different sessions, and by lots of MDs, pediatricians, and that's what I like. See, this whole MMR thing, that documentation, that study was covered up.
Yeah.
And that documentary reveals that. And that MMR, and this Dr. Wakefield, he was kind of the whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
He's from over in England, I believe. And he says, why don't you just separate them, or wait until after the child is 3 years old,
mm-hmm.
and then there's much less chance of injury.
Yeah.
But they were not willing to. They could separate them,
mm-hmm.
but what is it all about?
Money.
I hate to say it. I hate to be cynical, but I think it's true.
Yeah, but
and they have that patent. See,
what's fascinating to me, Rick, is that you've been taking some time to educate yourself and come up to play.
Yeah, and I sent one to my friend. I sent and I haven't heard any. It seemed like everybody I send this stuff to, I don't hear anything back. I don't know if they're just shocked or if they're just not watching it, or I think a lot of people really maybe don't want to hear the truth, Ron.
Well,
I don't know what it is.
But the thing is, if I only watch and hear and listen to general media, I'm probably going to be told that these doctors are all in support of it, and anyone that's not a doctor and we don't understand
they're all quacks. Yeah.
But, you know, there's a whole world of quacks right now, it seems to be, because there's a whole lot of doctors that are coming up with research and study that are saying, hey.
They're starting to expose. They're starting to come out with the truth, and
uh-huh.
that's what I think. That's the reason they're trying to write this legislation. And they're having to write new laws, literally, you know, to make this stuff happen, because they do not have the authority to do that.
And not only is it doctors coming up, but we're getting more and more stories, just like what we heard Bob talk about, mm-hmm. and Amber talk about. It seems like everyone I know that has had one of these experiences, either a personal one or their child, and they'll say adamantly, this happened right after that shot.
All of the stories are the same. That's what these doctors were testifying of. Hey, and when I start to they would say, as I start to hear this stuff, I start, you know, I'm gonna start researching it. The good doctors will want to research that and prove it wrong. But I think the more you research, the more you can't prove it wrong, because there's a common denominator, and it seems to be that those injections of those. Yeah, maybe there is some good stuff in there. I don't know, but there's some toxic stuff. There's only a little bit of mercury, just a little bit.
Well, see,
it's poison. It's a hazardous material.
This is what was so fascinating to me off of what Bob, because he was the lawyer today that we had on it from 9 to 9:30, and what he told me about the state control and the doctors shocked me, because I always thought, you know, hey, you know, a doctor knows a family.
You'd be in charge.
He's taken their blood. He's taken their urine. He knows how they're going to react to something.
Yep.
And it seems like he should be the one to help make a call.
Thank you.
But instead, he's being told, no, you don't have any understanding
by
of
people
his family.
Exactly.
That's just crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. So hopefully we can get this madness turned around, Roland, and get the truth going, getting out there.
So staying positive on this,
it's not a negative thing. We just got to be aware. That's the thing. Be aware and educate before you vaccinate.
Yeah, but we can actually do purposeful things. Like right here in Oregon, you can become part of this group called the Oregonians for Medical Freedom, and you can get involved there in making your voice
known.
You can call in and write in to legislators. You can make yourself educated about the laws that support you. And right now we had learned here in Oregon, you could still have
a medical or medical exemption.
Is it
philosophical
or religious exemption?
Yeah.
Okay, so those exemptions are still there.
Well, yeah, because some families are definitely more susceptible to reactions from these substances. And if the doctor knows that, he says, "Hey, my patients aren't going to have that."
Correct.
So there's a history here. So I think we just got to be aware.
And the other thing we learned from Robert is that when you go into hospital and you're signing something, he said, cross out that the biological acceptance, and you can just cross it out and put your initials there, and that means if you do that, they would have to explain and you would have to agree to anything that's entering your body biologically. So there are things that
there's
you can do.
Yeah. And the key is educate yourself.
Educate.
Before you vaccinate.
Wow.
Yeah. I like to add that because it's true.
And you're not too old to ever become educated,
oh,
right?
Oh, look at me. I'm old and I'm not really old. I'm just getting started, Ron. We're just warming up.
You know what, Rick? I was just listening to a new study this morning, and they found out that upper middle age right now.
Like us.
Upper middle age.
Oh, yeah, we're upper. Oh, no, you're younger. I'm upper.
Upper middle age is actually determined right now between ages 60 and 80. Did
man.
You know that?
Yes, I got a long way to go then.
Yeah, so then old age would be 81 and up.
That makes sense.
So upper middle age, which means you're still pretty darn active.
No, we're young. I feel young.
And 40 to 60 is still middle age. So, Rick, I'm still middle age.
Yes,
all right?
You are. Well, you've got a few more years, Ron. Ron, not too much. No, so I'm upper middle age. But I'm the beginning of the upper middle age.
Yeah, you're the beginning of upper middle
age. I got a long way to go.
I'm just going to hold this over you for a while.
That's all right.
Okay.
Hey, you got to keep. Yeah, we got to stay humble, don't we?
I know. Middle age, upper middle age.
Oh, I love it.
Gee, so we can still do something new. You know what I want to encourage you guys to do? This one had come to our attention, and we wanted to go forward with it. You can also bring things to our attention.
Yes.
Okay, by writing in to us.
Yes.
At the number 3.
Wiseguys.
At.
HebrewNation.net.
You got it.
Yeah, and you have, if you have a show or something, a subject you want to us address, for us to address, you know, write in, and the wise guys will do the best we can to address it. And
we will do our best.
Yes.
Let's see if I have.
What do you have there, Ron?
Well, I'm checking to see if I have any emails on here this morning, and you can be, you know, listening as I.
Yeah,
as
because
I'm
we
searching.
Haven't even got one call. I mean, there has to be somebody a question or comment or something. But
well, I don't
where
know.
Is there anybody out there?
I know.
There's gotta be.
You know what, there is.
I know. There's more of us than we realize, folks.
I always get emails later.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
As long as you get them.
As long as I get them.
Because we need, you know, the wise guys need encouragement too, don't we?
Yeah. Which brings me up to another topic. Any of you guys, I mean, when you're out there, are you out there seeking a fellowship with people?
Yeah.
I mean,
are you gathering?
Are you gathering
with his people?
And you're meeting, keeping iron, sharpening iron, doing that kind of stuff.
We need to do that.
Amen.
Yeah, and even if you're shut in, even at, and, you know, get on the phone.
Call someone.
Yeah,
say,
call
pick,
somebody.
Pick me up.
And there's fellowships. I know I got a call coming in, but I can't take it because it's on my cell phone.
Uh-oh.
But,
you can try.
No, that's okay. But yeah, just I think there's a reason he says do not forsake the gathering of the saints. We have to. We need one another. We had a little prayer group last night. Had a great time. Just praising his name and praying and just worshiping. And boy, there's something. There's a refreshing thing that happens, Roland. When you gather with his people, we need to do it.
You know what, Rick? I'm going to share this with you.
Okay, go ahead.
There's only a few minutes left here. And I don't want to, you know, maybe there's some people that keep Seventh-day Sabbath. Some of you maybe don't keep the Seventh-day Sabbath yet. But get a hold of the concept of Sabbath, which is once a week.
Ooh.
Okay, so get a hold of that. And go to Leviticus 23.
Oh, and that's the Feast of Yahweh.
Well, in his appointed times, and he says are my times.
These are my feasts.
But I want you to get a hold of this thing. The Lord spoke to Moses, and he said this, speak to the sons of Israel. Now, right away, I'm going, speak to the sons of Israel. Well, Israel is anyone who...
Well, yeah, who's in Yeshua.
You got it.
You've been grafted in by Romans 11. Read it if you don't realize that.
So he says... Here are my appointed times. Appointed times.
Appointed times. Oh, no, that's the Jewish feast.
No,
it's
his time.
His days.
Yeah.
His time.
And he appointed
them.
Appointed means they're special and they're here. And he says this, which you shall proclaim as a holy what? Convocation.
Convocation. That means a gathering.
A gathering.
Yes.
Okay, so in the very first one that he starts off with, my appointed times are these. In the very first one.
Here it is.
6 days you get all your work done, but on the seventh day there's a complete rest.
He only hallowed one day after the 6 days of creation, and that was the seventh day.
So I'm thinking, you know, if you're lacking fellowship, you know, here's Yahweh, our God, who says something like this. Here's an appointed time. I want you to do it once a week. And you're supposed to gather. You're supposed to gather.
You're supposed to gather.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think there's a reason for that. And I think, like us talking here today, I don't know about you, but I get encouraged when I speak with you.
Oh, yeah.
And I
when
get
we're together, yeah. we get encouraged.
And I get encouraged by these interviews that came in and the people that talk
people
to.
Yeah, people call in. And,
yeah. So I'm wondering if convocations are for that very reason.
No doubt. You just said it. Iron sharpens iron.
Right.
And sometimes we rub each other a little wrong, but it smooths it out, you know, that friction. So it's all part of his plan, see? Mm-hmm. We just want to be in the center of his plan, don't we? We
just
do.
I think it's easier.
No doubt. I don't want my plan. You know, I want his plan
unfold. I've actually tried not being involved with
You've sat on the sidelines before.
Yeah.
How'd you like it?
It gets lonely.
You like your own company?
Yeah, one is the loneliest number that you live
there
with.
There you go. Three Dog Night. I think that was Three Dog Night.
Yes, it was.
Dating ourselves a little bit. That's all right, though. I feel privileged to date myself sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's okay. Hey, I love this perspective you get as you get into, let's see, how'd you phrase
golden
that?
Golden years, middle upper age.
Yeah. I love that.
Are you liking middle upper age, Rick?
The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
There you go. Way to go.
No, it's true. Because you get a perspective that you only can get through living life.
Yeah.
And, man, even though our bodies go wrong, you know, we can't go run marathons anymore like we used to. And
I'm
going to
do one this summer.
Are you really?
I did one. Determined. Really?
Yeah, I never had a weight problem until I did a marathon. All of a sudden, I got post-marathon syndrome.
Oh, no.
My body, you know, what happened is you run 50, 60 miles a week, and then you go back down to 20 miles a week. What happened? Your body, I really believe you're burning so many calories, your metabolism naturally slows down. So when you go back to just, you know, running 2 or 3 miles a day, and, you know, 20 miles a week, it's not enough, and you have to keep running more.
Well,
so that's my philosophy.
You know, I've actually run a couple different runs.
You've run 10Ks probably, and maybe a half marathon?
Yeah, and what I've learned to do, this is what I do in order not to just completely waste myself, is I would only run a couple miles.
Yeah, see?
In order to get ready. And then on the
You don't do one long one?
Nope.
Before?
All I would do is
Now you're going to do a 20. You better prepare. I'm telling you.
I know, but you know when I did a 10K, which is only like a 6.2. I only ran two miles at a time, and then I would do sprints for quarter miles. And
you were doing interval stuff
and half a mile.
Yeah.
And then I figured, you know what? I can do 6.2 the day of.
Yeah.
It's not going to bother me, and it didn't. I mean, I was okay.
If your body's used to it, but if your body's not, especially the marathon thing.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not used to it, the race, they say, starts, you know, it's 26 miles, 385 yards, or almost 26 and a quarter. But they say the race starts at 20 miles, you know. It's true.
It's true.
At 20 miles, oh, man.
You were dying?
I was hurt.
Wow.
But, you know, I experienced it. I did one, and it was all good. I wish I wouldn't have done it, really, because it was hard on my body.
Well, there's all sorts of things, you know, that we can do, you guys. And I just want to inspire you, and hopefully you enjoyed today's show.
Well,
Our conversation about what you can do when it comes to vaccinations, and to give you hope that here in Oregon, it happened.
Well,
we had a bill that showed up. And it was going to get pushed through, and people
came out.
And they came out, and they defeated that bill. Doesn't mean it's not going to show up again.
No, it will show up again.
It'll show up again. But you can take a proactive stance on this, and you can get involved with Oregonians for Medical Freedom.
Yes.
Is who we interviewed this morning.
That's how I'll start passing them along to people, yeah.
Right.
like-minded individuals that, and the thing is, they're all, from pro-vaccinations to none and all in between. But the thing is, it's the mandate. When they start to mandate, Roland, what we, you know, what we totally, yeah, and they make us, they take our children away. I mean, that is,
it's
they
awful.
Are way overstepping.
Out of line.
Yeah, what they were
yeah.
paid to do.
Paid to do. All right, you guys. Just remember, next week we will be back on Tuesday morning.
Yes.
And you can write into us, give us ideas for content.
From the living word, his light now shines, the darkness must flee.